Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henning Rain Show on WWPR 1490 AM, heard every Saturday, 12.05 PM until 1.30 PM. And we have a full show today, two different guests, and a full house in the studio, too. But what's happened in this weekly roundup of Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, blockchain news, and more? Well, market manipulation in cryptocurrency? Who knows? But the CFTC, the Commodity Finance Trading Commission, wants to know. The investigation sends Bitcoin and other crypto prices to a six-week low after the announcement of it. And we'll ask Bitcoin pioneer Charlie Shrem his take on all that. And our second guest joining us in the second half of the show will be joined by Seminole County Tax Collector Joel Greenberg to tell us how his office has become the first in Florida to accept Bitcoin and Bitcoin Cash in payment of tax bills. Well, we want to remind you about the Bradenton Bitcoin and Cryptocurrency Meetup coming up this afternoon at 3 o'clock at Connect Bradenton. That's downtown Bradenton at 6 Avenue West and 12th Street West. Connect Bradenton, the co-work area there, catty corner to the old courthouse. And that'll be 3 o'clock till probably about 4:30. And we have a special guest there also, Samuel Arms, the person that you met last week on the radio show, who has opened a consulting business but has done cryptocurrency contract work for both U.S. Special Operations Command and the U.S. State Department. So we'll have all that and much more. But let's get right to the panel because we have guests that we have to bring on shortly. And we have Sabine Priestley, science fiction romance novelist, with us. How are you feeling, Sabine?
Oh, doing just great, as you can tell by my voice. I just want to say I never want to lose that song. I'll show up to the show just to hear that song.
Well, that must be the best 10 seconds you ever
not
get.
Not that you're that good either, but, you know.
Well, over there on the same mic, the Crypto Sisters, if you will. Blockchain CPA, Cara Haas. Hi, Cara.
Hi, Henry.
And I know you have lots of questions for our guests coming up. I saw all the pre-show work that you did. Thank you.
Yes, I'm looking forward to both.
And that, of course, as we said just a few minutes ago, that's going to be Charlie Shrem and Joel Greenberg. Charlie Shrem, the Bitcoin pioneer. Joel Greenberg, Seminole County tax collector. They're going to be coming up in just a few minutes. At least Charlie Shrem will be. And we will get to them, but we still have other people to introduce, and that, of course, would be the perennial. That could only mean Augie.
Hey, you guys, I tell you what, I'm missing this Charlie Shrem, but, you know, I don't have my laundromat around anymore to help people out like that. But, of course, New Jersey does, and the Gambling Commission is trying to still figure out where the president really operates in the laundry. Back of the laundry, in the laundry, or as part of the trash, I don't know.
We'll leave you all to discern and figure that out while we introduce the final panelist here in the studio. SpeakingCryptos.com, co-founder and TradingView columnist, well followed, Andy, a.k.a. Goldbug1. Hey, Andy, what's up?
Good afternoon, Henry. I'm thinking it's time to get the shopping cart out.
Oh, you're loading up on the crypto market?
I'm telling you right now, it's getting time to load it up, baby. It's everything's on sale, and I think the next move is up.
Wow, there's a lot of people that hope you're right.
That's way better than Augie's facepalm moment.
His is better than your facepalm moment.
We've got to really work on this microphone stuff.
We need another microphone. I think that's what it is.
Car and I are going to be kissing each other if we go at it.
I'm all for that. I got my Facebook, Instagram going here.
Andy does not need any ideas. Not with the dreams that man has.
You know, those dreams are, you know, they're real. I'm not going to lie. Those are real. The
ones
I tell you in
right?
my deep, darkest secrets in our little circle, those are real dreams.
Top secret crypto chat group.
That's correct.
We just got to learn out. As soon as, for the audience out there that's wondering, as soon as we learn how to monetize Andy's dreams, you can bet they will be
so
there.
Much help.
Andy, we're going to get to guests in a second, but just quickly, tell us about SeedingCryptos.com. What's new there? Because you must be getting a lot of people asking you questions with all this market gyrations.
Absolutely, but we're growing, and we're going to have our release, I believe, next week. And
release of what?
The final website will be done, and we have some interesting things coming up, but they're not quite finalized. So once we get them finalized, we'll let everybody out there know. Some very good stuff, though, happening. Very good stuff.
I thought once I finally start getting emails after I signed up that was sort of the peak.
Yeah, you know, we're having to switch over to Amazon, unfortunately. I'm not a big Amazon guy, but I know. I'm feeding the system.
Okay. Well, let's at least touch base on something here before we bring in our first guest, Charlie.
I tell you, I've got news for you.
Bitcoin's price dipped Thursday after a report that the Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation into whether traders are manipulating the price of cryptocurrencies. Price of the largest digital currency by market cap, Bitcoin, fell before recovering, trading a touch higher at $7,520, according to CoinDesk on Thursday. It then subsequently dropped to $7,272. Tested that a couple times since then, I believe, and right now is trading at around the 7,500 and mid-7,500s, if you will. Early Thursday, Bloomberg reported that the Justice Department is investigating whether traders are using illegal market moves to trick others into buying or selling cryptocurrencies. The Commodities Futures Trading Commission is also working on the probe, said the report. Justice Department and the CFTC declined to comment. Well, we only have about a minute before we go to the guests, but just tease us a little bit, Andy, with where you're coming from on all this, and we'll get your in-depth on the other side.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, market manipulations happen in all markets. It's not just cryptos that it happens on, in. And you don't have to go any further than do a Google search on J.P. Morgan, HSBC, and Deutsche Bank with the silver manipulation. And
we've got the big banks that manipulated the LIBOR market.
Absolutely.
But what I found, and we'll have to leave the discussion of it for after we get our guest through their interview, is I listen to some of the people that are in our communication group and their libertarian view of the big government, and they want to keep that out of getting into the market, but they don't seem to be as disturbed when big, powerful private interests influence the market and take advantage over the smaller, decentralized individuals. So,
well, you know, I don't think it really matters. I mean, you're in the game, you understand the risks that you take, and it's just part of being in the game.
It's called monopoly.
Well, as I said, we'll get to that in just a minute. We're going to go and hopefully the timing of all this will work. I think I picked a long enough clip that I can get our guest on the phone. This is Bloomberg's take on Bloomberg News on the announcement by the CFTC and the Justice Department.
What the U.S. is actually investigating.
Yes, this is a significant moment. And I would point out that the agency involved in working with the U.S. Justice Department is the Commodity Futures and Trading Commission. So this isn't coming from the Securities and Exchange Commission, which is already investigating initial coin offerings or ICOs for fraud. So now you have the two capital markets agencies in the U.S. both investigating these processes. And when it comes to the CFTC justice probe, it looks like they're really looking at the traditional frauds that we've seen in the stock market. You're seeing spoofing, you're seeing wash trades, you're seeing basically all of those manipulative tricks that, that stock frauds do to goose the price and get out, of course, at the expense of innocent investors. That's very interesting.
How much jurisdiction do they have, Ed?
They have jurisdiction over any transaction that takes place in the U.S. And that's a big reason why even exchanges, say like many that are here in London and are asking to be regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority, they still will not accept business from anyone in the U.S. because they don't want to tangle with Washington in any way, shape, or form.
Well, we're still getting the aftershocks from that announcement on Thursday of that news. In the studio here, if you just joined us, we have blockchain CPA Kara Haas, science fiction romance novelist Sabine Priestley. We have Augie. We have Seeking Crypto's co-founder Goldbug One. And joining us on the phone right now is Charlie Schrem. He's an American entrepreneur and Bitcoin advocate, co-founded the company BitInstant, and is a founding member of the Bitcoin Foundation, formerly serving as the vice chair till 2017. He joined Jax, the wallet company, as its director of business and community development. He has also been seen in the Netflix documentary Banking on Bitcoin, has advised numerous companies, and he is the founding partner of a local business, and it's a global business, but it's local in the Sarasota area, Crypto.IQ, a strategic investment advisory an educational firm with focus on digital assets, so let's not waste any more time and welcome Charlie Schrem. I understand you're feeling...
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. I know you're feeling a little under the weather and your time's limited, so we really appreciate you joining us today.
My pleasure. I'm happy to be here.
So, Charlie, that was a thumbnail about you, but how did you first become aware of Bitcoin and you? What was your technical background at the time? You were a rather young person at that time, weren't you?
Yeah, it's such a mouthful. It sounds like you're describing someone like who's 80 years old there, but I'm only 28. I got involved in cryptocurrency when I was really young in my early years of college. I guess, you know, I was living in my parents' basement in Brooklyn, and I was just hanging out on some of these internet chat rooms, and someone who I later know could have been part of the original Satoshi group just kind of showed up in that chat room and started talking about this Bitcoin thing, and I didn't really understand what was so cool about it. It just seemed like a downloadable version of PayPal, right? Like, who cares? But then when he explained to me that basically this is a system where the transactions are not only updated on my ledger and your ledger, the person who's sending and the person receiving, it's also in real time updating on everyone else's ledger around the world, and this is a censorship-resistant system where no one party, no one government, no one corporation can actually control it or reverse it or freeze it or tell you can't use it. And to me, I said, wow, this is something that will bring equality and remove the power of money out of the hands of the few and back into the hands of the many.
Well, many of us also believe that it's life-changing and culture-changing. I know on a personal basis it took you through some pretty serious life changes, too, and, of course, our time's limited, as I know from the circumstances of your you're actually going to have some sinus work done. Isn't that correct?
Yeah. We moved down here to Florida, and, you know, I left New York and moved down here to Southwest Florida. I love the Sarasota area. It's amazing. But with it comes the humidity and the different types of bacteria. I love boating and things like that, and nothing major, no major issue, but just kind of get a little bit of sinus work done. But we do have good medical care here, so I'm not worried about it.
Okay. So is that how you came to launch CryptoIQ in Sarasota then? Which came first? You wanted to do CryptoIQ here or you moved here first?
Moved here first. Wanted a fresh start. Wanted to move somewhere where the government was friendlier, where there's no state income taxes, and where there's a much higher quality of life with a lower cost of living compared to, like, New York and California and some of these other places. So I moved down here, actually came here on vacation about the week after I got released from prison. I came down here on vacation, and I fell in love with it. And I told my wife, who was my fiance at the time, we need to move here. And 3 months later, we were here. and I wasn't sure what I was going to be doing on business. I was actually, like you said, the chief operating officer eventually of Jets based in Toronto, and they wanted me to move there. And I love the team and I love the people, but I said, there's no way I'm moving to Toronto when I'm looking at the beach every day. This is beautiful here.
Yeah, it's not a very hard decision, Henry. I mean, But so now I got to ask this. I have to ask this, Charlie. Are you a Beastie Boy fan?
My music collection has completely grown. The Beach Boys, the Beastie Boys, Bob Marley. I love Revolution, reggae music now. All that chill out music, that relaxing music is the best. I have a boat here. It's called Satoshi. You'll see me putting around the Tampa Bay area all the time.
I love it. I love it.
Well, Charlie, your time is limited, but you opened up the door for this because you said you moved here when you got out of prison. So for people that are listening that aren't aware of that, just give us a quick thumbnail about how that came to be. But for a lot of people, you know, there's moments that turn your life a whole different direction, and possibly that was one of those moments for you also.
Yeah, it definitely was a moment, and I would never wish that even on my worst enemy. It's a very difficult experience to go through. The experience was brought by my own self-doing. I was, like you mentioned earlier, I ran the first and largest Bitcoin company, BitInstant, which was an exchange, and we processed over 30% of all the daily trading volume per day in the world. And I was running the company out of literally my parents' basement, and I was the CEO, I was the operations director, I was the compliance officer, and I also cleaned the toilets. I did everything in the company. And what happened was I allowed a user of our company to buy Bitcoin and then take that Bitcoin and resell it to someone who then would be buying drugs or whatever on the Silk Road. So because I was part of that pathway and I enabled it and knew about it, I was sentenced to 2 years in federal prison, and I served my time, and I'm happy to have moved on from that.
And now you've come here, you've launched crypto.iq, cryptoiq.com is where you can find out more, but for our audience...
Crypto.iq, actually, just crypto.iq.
Okay, sorry about that. Crypto.iq, just Google that, you'll find it. And what is the purpose of this business? Who is the target customer, and what are they going to receive from it?
The target customer is actually your audience, people that are interested in crypto, interested in Bitcoin and blockchain, but don't really know where to start. I've always been an evangelist. I've always loved getting on stage and speaking, teaching, educating. When I was running companies, I would still love speaking at conferences and doing all these things. So I said, now that I have the opportunity, why don't I start an education company? And we keep it really simple. We charge $50 a month. So it's not a $5,000 a month type of situation. And it's $50 a month. And by doing that, you get access to our members-only newsletter, research reports, private groups and chat rooms where 24 hours a day, our staff, all local here in Sarasota and some people in California, we have 12 people in our Sarasota office, will answer your questions, will teach you, will prevent you from going to scams, will hold your hand and explain to you not only what is Bitcoin and what is crypto, but why is it important? Why is this so life-changing, and why are people so excited about it? But it's a community. We have a great community of people that are genuinely interested in learning, but we keep the costs really low because I don't want to be one of those companies where only the elite and the rich people can afford to learn about it.
And that's crypto.iq. Go ahead and check that out. And they're local right here. They actually have a physical address. And since you brought that up about the small investor, we right before you came on, we played this news that really sort of shook the markets this week as far as causing crypto prices to go down, about the CFTC and the Justice Department investigating possible market manipulation. What are your thoughts about whether or not there is market manipulation and whether the investigation is appropriate and if they're going to find anything?
Of course there's market manipulation. There's always going to be market manipulation in immature markets. Bitcoin is very young. It's less than 10 years old. But remember that in the early days, the market manipulation was so much worse because it was a lot easier to manipulate and to make the market do what you want it to do. Now, as crypto is growing, it's a lot harder to do it. But there are bad actors. And what I will say is this. One of the things that we lacked in the early days of crypto was clarity. It felt very much like the Wild West. We didn't really know what we were doing, and everything was in the gray area. When the government now, and the U.S. government, I have to applaud them, because what they're doing is they're actually going after the fraud, the embezzlement, the scammers, and the market manipulators. They're going after the actual bad actors, and for now they're letting the companies that are operating legitimately and that want to do the right thing continue to operate and do the right thing. And there's a lot more clarity. There's a lot more understanding of, if we want to operate a crypto company, the U.S. government says, this is how you actually have to do it. And that's really, it's really good to see that, because we can't pretend that the government's not going to regulate this, because it's going to happen. So at least let it happen the right way, instead of just saying crypto is banned, like some countries have tried to do, which would be impossible to do. So
a question for you, Charlie.
Regulation, I'm kind of happy about it.
Hey, now, Charlie, I got a question for you on the China thing. Do you think China is so far ahead of us in cryptos, and if the regulations here are not loosened up or fast-tracked, that we are going to lose ground to China in cryptocurrencies and blockchain in general?
Let me tell you something. The United States is a third world. We are so far behind the rest of the world, not only China, but South Korea, all of Asia, all of Eastern and Western Europe, even South America. We are the last. Most of the companies are leaving the United States. The talent is leaving the United States. The United States won't let in crypto people. They won't give them visas. It's very difficult. I had the CEO of one of the largest crypto mining companies in China, an amazing gentleman who owns a lot of companies and employs hundreds of people, wanted to come here to Sarasota to visit me, and they wouldn't give him a visa. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I have no idea why. But it's just what it is. Unfortunately, it used to be in the U.S. that you pay to play. So if you're an international company and you wanted to access the U.S. market, you would have to follow all these U.S. regulations. Unfortunately, the U.S. regulations have gotten so burdensome for these international companies that they're saying, we just don't want to play anymore. So if you're a U.S. citizen and you want to invest in a company, if you want to even trade on an exchange, or you want to be part of the crypto ecosystem, they say, sorry, you're a United States citizen. You can't be part of it. You can't open up an account. You can't join our system. They block you. And I never felt, as being an American, so many obstacles to being part of the crypto system. And it's a shame, because this is a great country. We're the land of the free. You know, we're the most talented, most innovative people in the world, I believe, are here. And it's a shame that we're being shut out of the global system because of regulations. So hopefully more clarity will come.
We're limited on time, and I want to get the other panelists here a chance to speak to you, because I know Carr had worked on a bunch of questions for you. We won't go to all of them. Sabine had a question.
No problem. Don't worry about it.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll stretch then.
Okay.
But we're still going to ask the questions. Let Sabine go first, because she's been waiting.
I've got two things. First, I wanted to chime in, and I'm an early adopter for the Crypto IQ, and I love your accessibility. Your whole theory of letting the little guy in is great, which is one reason I did it. But I wanted to ask you, one of the posts that you did recently in the Facebook group, you're looking at Fast and Trezor. Have you looked at Relay? What is it, Rapid Relay? Am I getting that right? It's same kind of thing, Radar Relay, same type of thing, I think.
I haven't looked at that one specifically, but I'm gonna write it down now and look into it. I'm not a fan of centralized exchanges where you have to trust someone else with your money, because – you know, you've been around the States for a long time. It goes against the whole ethos of this whole thing. Whereas we're controlling our private keys, we're controlling our money. Why are we trusting in the hands of a centralized company, right?
Oh, I totally agree. But they're doing the same thing. They're doing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like decentralized.
Perfect.
So
I'll check it out.
I'd love to do an analysis
between
the two, because I didn't know which way to go.
There's some really cool technology coming out, like Atomic Swaps. I know a company, AtomicWallet.io, is doing it, where you literally can swap one token or one coin for another on any blockchain without having to trust any party. And it's kind of confusing to me still how it works. But it essentially works where, imagine if all these countries in the European Union decided they're going to open up their borders and you can travel between all the European countries. And you can do that today. And they're all different countries and different cultures, but they have a common situation that they've agreed on in the Schengen Agreement. And that's kind of what Atomic Relays is, where all these blockchains add a specific endpoint into their technology, and it allows them all to talk to each other even though they all do very different things. And that's very interesting technology because you don't need the exchanges anymore.
It's fascinating technology, and that is the future of money.
Let's go ahead and get over to blockchain CPA, Cara. And, Cara, before I let you go and ask your question to Charlie, I just have to tell the audience out there that can't see the studio, Cara is making notes on a tablet with a stylus, and she is the first person that I have ever seen that can do perfect handwriting on a tablet with a stylus. Am I right, Sabine? You're sitting there, right?
I can't even do perfect handwriting on paper.
I can't do it on a keyboard.
All right, Cara, go ahead, please, now that we've embarrassed you.
Thank you. I can always count on that, doing something to be embarrassed each show. Charlie, thanks so much for being with us. One of the things that I start to look at, I'm attempting to look at fundamentals of tokens in particular, as well as protocols, but in the token space, there seem to be crowded sectors standing out. In particular, every time I do a search, wallets stand out as a crowded sector to me. Do you see a particular sector in this space that is overcrowded, and what you're looking for them to do to differentiate themselves?
That's a good question. It comes out to like market saturation. You know, a lot of projects are like looking for the lowest hanging fruit that they can achieve, and everyone's looking for that lowest hanging fruit, right? So like you said, wallets and protocols to build smart contracts on, those are kind of like, yeah, I've been there, done that. And there's a lot of projects that are working on that same, also things like in the music and video industry. There's a lot of them doing the same thing. What I'm investing in and looking into more is I like projects that are achieving something that has never been achieved before in being able to bring humans together. I've kind of coined the term, and you could check it out on Google, you have the consensus algorithms. With Bitcoin is proof of work, and Ethereum uses proof of work, but people hear that they're moving over to proof of stake. And there's delegated proof of stake, and there's all these different consensus algorithms that govern blockchains. I've kind of coined the term proof of brain. And proof of brain is saying, what can we achieve if through the internet we can all put our brain power together and to do amazing things? And some projects that do that, that enable us to put our brain power together and to grow that and to make the world a better place are the kind of things that I'm looking at specifically.
I think TD Ameritrade has something like that, don't they? Have you seen the commercial? Okay, I must be the only one on TD Ameritrade.
I wanted to get Augie set up there.
I don't watch TV.
Well, it, you know, I
by the way, this is Augie.
I'm the contrarian, Charlie. But the contrarian is respecting some of the things you've gone through. The charge against you, another name for it is money laundering. Whether it's legitimate or not is what it was. And the thing
that's not what my charge was.
Oh, so technically it wasn't.
I had to go read the case files against me. That charge was dropped.
Oh, that was dropped. Okay. But the point is...
Yeah, I was actually convicted of aiding and abetting the operation of an unlicensed money transmitting business.
Okay. The main thing I heard you say is you said two things that are very interesting. One, you actually appreciate the government doing the regulation, and you don't understand the blockage of immigration into the country of minds and ideas and all that coming from another country, which is what's happening. And largely in the last year and a half, this ICE is doing, it's actually separating children from parents. We have a monstrous immigration problem created by the leaders in this country.
Yeah, I don't want to point any fingers, but I completely agree with you.
Thank you.
Wholeheartedly agree with you, and it's such a shame. Such a shame what has happened to our borders. I'm sorry. It has to be said. It's such a shame.
Charlie, recently that you had made a statement, at least it was reported you made a statement, that May was going to be the last time that we saw Bitcoin under $10,000. Now, with the drop after the latest news that you've already commented on.
How many more days do I have left? So then I could be wrong. I'm not perfect.
Well, I was going to give you a chance to extend it out a little bit.
Bullish.
You going to stick by that?
Listen, I have five or six more days to stick by, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
All right.
I think you might be right, Henry. I think Charlie's on there. I'm gonna throw my money on Charlie right now.
Thank you, but we'll see what happens.
If you
want
to throw your money, go to
crypto.com.
I'm sorry. I talked over you there, Charlie.
It's never a bad time to buy Bitcoin. It's never good. This is not a good time. If you're in it from a long-term hold, Bitcoin, Ethereum, EOS, some of these other projects, if you're in it long-term, it's never a bad time because this whole system has to continue to appreciate or it'll die completely. And I ask myself, whenever I see the price going down, I say, is Bitcoin broken? Is it broken? Have they hacked it? Have they figured something out? And if the answer is no, then I say, okay, then I don't have to worry. It's still going to be here 5 years from now.
So that person that just heard you that doesn't have it and that you just told to go buy it, are you going to tell them to dollar cost average over time?
Yeah, we wrote a great article in our last month's newsletter at Crypto IQ, a whole article about what dollar cost averaging and what that means. And everyone who dollar cost averages, including myself, it always works out in the long term. It's always a good idea to do that within reason. Obviously, never put any money in that you can afford to lose and assume that any money that you buy into cryptocurrency, you've already lost it.
It's like going to the poker. It's like going to the poker room. You know, you walk in there with the only money you want to lose, and keep the ATM at home.
And the conversation is for educational purposes only, hypothetical.
The only fun poker is strip poker.
Thank you, Augie.
You may want to define that. Who's playing poker?
No, we don't want any more definition. We've got plenty.
Not your speedo.
It's Nancy Pelosi. I'm out.
All right. Well, Charlie, you've been generous with your time. Again, it's crypto.iq. We already have people that are clients, subscribers. What do you call yourselves to me?
Subscriber, and I'm part of their co-op as well.
Oh, all right.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. I'm glad to see that you're a member of us. Thank you.
And what do you want to leave the audience with? And, again, thank you for making time for us on the day. You're not really feeling as well as you do some days.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And thank you for being considerate of the time. What I would say to some people, excuse me, my throat. What I would say to some people, to everyone, is instead of asking yourself what is Bitcoin, ask yourself why is Bitcoin? Why is this important? Why is cryptocurrency so revolutionary? Why are people so excited about it? If you could understand that, if you could understand why, then the what will come to you in an instant.
All right, and Charlie, I got a little recommendation for you: some honey. Apple cider vinegar and garlic.
What exchange is that traded on?
That's on the on the herbal remedy exchange. I'm letting you know that is.
Might not
want
to kiss your wife after that toxic mix.
And peppermint tea.
Thank you. Right.
Pleasure talking to you, Charlie.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thank you, Charlie.
Come to visit your studio and be on the show again if you have.
I would love that. Thank you very much. Bye bye.
Have a great day. Bye bye.
What a great guy.
All right. A lot more time than I anticipated.
Absolutely.
You could tell his voice was
you could tell he was, you know, and we've had a couple employees call out on the Memorial Day sickness, but I think that was definitely genuine.
Yeah, yeah. I like his departing statement, too. Why? That's a brilliant, brilliant way to approach it.
And actually, our guest coming up at 12:45, he's got an upper respiratory infection, too, so his interview probably is a little
garlic,
bit.
Garlic, apple cider vinegar, and honey will keep you unsick. I'm just letting you know out there.
Stinking like hell.
It keeps Augie away, too.
That's because you're too close, Augie.
Keeps you single as well.
All right. Well, I said we would pick this up a little bit. We got about 4 or 5 minutes before our next guest, and we go to break to get them on. So, Two of the things that the CFTC is looking at is spoofing, and probably the best person to explain spoofing to us would be Andy, so let's call him on that. And actually, might as well just throw in the second one, too, wash trading.
Well, you know, this stuff happens in all different markets. Now, spoofing is just when you go in and you spoof the market. You set a big order in, and you're, like, trying to push the market down. This happens in all markets. Now, when you're watching the order flow, and a lot of here's the unfortunate thing: if you're in the real market, you can kind of see the order flow, but the exchanges don't see the order flow. What happened with the JP Morgan and them is they knew the orders were coming in, so they knew the order flow.
Tell us what you're referencing there.
So this is when you're spoofing the market.
JP Morgan, though, what did they do?
Okay, Jamie, I love Jamie. Don't John Jamie. What they did is when they saw large orders coming in and they positioned themselves, towards that type of trade. And then what they would do is they spoof the market. Now, this happens. The irony is they're going after this in cryptos. This happens in all markets, especially the Forex market. And what happens is they'll say a setup, and everybody's looking at the same chart. And when a setup's too good, too obvious, it's, you know, everybody sees it on their chart, people start piling into the trade. And what happens is these larger institutions and larger investors start fishing. And what they'll do is they fish for margin stops. And on very low volume days, they'll actually calculate.
Fishing is searching?
They're searching for, you know, they go fishing and they start spoofing the market with orders. And then when they see how it reacts, then they'll dump a bunch in there, triggering a margin stops. And then they get that dip where they all of a sudden they're at the bottom buying.
They look over the orders that are already in the system.
Well, they can't see the orders that are in the system. They see the chart and they know, okay, this is a crowded trade. Just like with the Bitcoin.
Let me break it down a little bit here, because they can't see the orders in the system, but they can see the orders their customers have put in.
Well, that was J.P. Morgan and HSBC. It was a couple traders that were doing a little bit of insider type thing when the orders were coming in. So when they see a big order, if Augie says, you know, hey, I'm going to buy $2 million worth of silver contracts, and I'm taking the order, and I go, oh, this is great, it's going to move the market, and I order in the opposite side so that I'm, you know, taking advantage of his order. That's what was going on with that. So that happens in all markets.
In addition, Jamie Dimon announced it wasn't worth trading into, and that's when he did all of that.
All right. Well, we're getting away from defining it for the audience.
Bottom line is that it happens in all markets, whether they're spoofing or washing or insider trading.
Well, the wash trade.
With the wash trade, I don't know what a wash trade is.
Okay, so the wash trading is when two parties are trading back and forth, or one party creates two parties to trade back and forth to create the illusion of volume and demand in the market.
I don't follow volume, so volume's not a...
All right, so let me see if I got the spoofing right. So there are orders in the system from legitimate people, multiple entities that are making trades. You see them stack up. You try and take advantage of the direction that the orders are going. If there's more buy orders or more sell orders, you're going to try and get on the right side of that.
Yeah, I mean, well, spoofing is you're just spoofing into the market. You're trying to push orders down with big orders. You're setting up behind it. Now, I've seen a guy. Now, here, this is this.
Wait, let me try and get this. So we've got those. That's the normal give and take of the market.
Yeah.
Now I see those orders stacking up. And I'm going to put a huge order on top of it, but maybe
behind
outside
it. That's
outside of the price it's trading at.
Yes.
So
you're trying to
other
push
people
the market
are
down.
Going to see that. Because I know if you go to a crypto exchange, or you can get...
Well,
like
and algo traders see it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, or if you're in the stock market, you get level
yeah,
two.
Absolutely.
You've got things where you can see these.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you see that behind there, and you're the spoofer, by putting that big order there, are trying to anticipate how people are going to react to it, which is why you do it.
Which
is illegal.
Why?
Because there's
why
a law.
Why is that illegal?
It.
It's bluffing. It's like poker.
No,
bluffing.
Something is illegal because there's a law against it.
Well, you know, that's bull crap. Let me just tell you right now, there should be no law against spoofing the market. If you want to spoof, and I'm going to tell you why. Here's what happened the other day, and I was watching it when a lot of activity was going on. Somebody was in there, and they were trading at a low. Actually, Bitcoin was like around 7,300.
Okay.
Just real quick.
Because we're going to go
all right, real quick. And I saw this order come in, like 200 Bitcoin. It was popping in and out, and I'm going, the guy's spoofing the market, trying to push it down. All of a sudden, a bigger fish came in, and boom, went right through his order when he entered it, and he lost all those Bitcoin.
All right. We'll pick this up late in the second half of the show. We have to go to a break now. We're going to come back with Seminole County tax collector, easy for me to say, Joel Greenberg, and he has the first office to accept Bitcoin payments for tax bills. You're listening to The Henry Rain Show.